The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the actions of my body glorify you in all ways. Amen. For the last several weeks, you have heard our sermon series, "Now is the Time," woven into the scriptures. Today is no different, and actually so much easier in many respects. Our subtext is following. The texts for today are not only some of my personal favorites, as you will hear, but they are filled with direct connections to the word, telling humanity to come and follow. Should you happen into my office, you will see Isaiah's words framed above my desk. They are part of my own call story and were framed as an ordination gift to me by my dear sister-in-law. If you come to my home, you will see the words from the hymn of the day, framed and hanging on a wall. This was given to me more years ago than we should count, after a time serving as a church volunteer, and knowing that this was a particular hymn that tended to pop up when I was struggling with how God was calling me to serve my church, my community, or how I felt God talking directly to me. It continues to do so today and remains a personal favorite. Early in January of 2023, I was privileged to visit the Holy Land. That time seems ever more poignant today when seeing pictures of the current destruction. During that trip, I, along with my seminary colleagues, alumni, spouses, and friends, had the opportunity to travel to Galilee. While driving there, I was seated on the bus with a woman named Rita. She's an alumni from Wartburg and was traveling with the group as part of her sabbatical. We were both quite excited to be traveling to see the ancient Galilee boat. Many people would know it as the Jesus boat, not because it was this particular boat, but it is certainly reminiscent of a boat at that time. And we wondered what it might be like to have been on the water in such a vessel. I'm generally a pretty pragmatic person. I don't get too emotional at things, And so I'd like to share some of my notes from that day and this experience. Today, being on the shores and then on a boat on the Sea of Galilee was simply amazing. I got to see and almost touch a boat from 2,000 years ago. I stood in the very places and spaces where Jesus did the majority of his ministry. I saw the mountains and the hills as Jesus would have seen them. I see the size of the lake or the sea and realize the reality of his humanity. The experience was unexpectedly overwhelming and emotional. As we sailed out on the water, I was overcome with emotion and had to sit down as I felt the perfect breeze on my face and watched the birds flying overhead. Messages from the sights we saw today included, "Come and follow me, feed my sheep, tend my land, follow me." While those notes seem brief, even today, standing here, I can feel the wind on my face. I can see that blue sky, and I can remember exactly how I felt standing on that boat, knowing that I was quite literally in the presence of God in those moments. I felt like I could hear God's voice in the wind, and that I knew I was right where I was supposed to be at that time and that place. Our gospel reading today is Luke's telling of Jesus's commissioning of Peter, set at Lake of Genesaret, also known commonly as the Sea of Galilee to most of us. We hear Luke describe the setting where the crowd has come to hear Jesus speak. In this particular passage, Luke uses the phrase "word of God" for the first time, and it will be repeated later. The crowd hasn't come for a miracle, but simply to hear what Jesus has to say, which is hopefully what you're here for today as well. We don't know what Jesus spoke about, since Luke never shares that information. The text focuses on something else, discipleship. We hear about the crowd pressing in to see Jesus. So much so that he looks out and notices two boats close on the water. He sees fishermen who have been fishing all night and now are cleaning their nets. These fishermen are known to Jesus. He's recently healed Simon's, soon to be called Peter, mother-in-law from fever, and has asked for them to put the boat back into the water, just a little out from the shore. He sat down and he prepares to teach. This stance would have been familiar to the crowds, as rabbis often sat while teaching. Simon and the other fishermen that we expect were on the boat, given the language used, follows along reluctantly at first when Jesus tells him to put out into the water and let your nets down for a catch. Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Now, as a mom, I hear the reluctance in his voice, the "I don't want to do this, but I guess I'll do it anyway" tone of his voice. Simon knows they've already fished, they've caught nothing, they've cleaned it all up, and is now being asked to do it all again by a man who's not a fisherman. This man is a teacher, a rabbi. What does he know about catching fish at all? Yet Simon, seemingly reluctantly, does as he's told by Jesus, who he refers to as master. The Greek word used here is epistata. It is only used in the New Testament 6 times. It is only used in Luke's gospel, and it is only used in relation to Jesus. It refers to a person in charge or a taskmaster. Simon is obedient in his response because of the authority that Jesus has, and thus agrees to follow the response or the request. He was amazed, and he was rewarded with a bounty so large that they needed more help to haul in the catch to prevent their boat from sinking. His faithfulness to follow Jesus and his command allowed him to receive God's great commission. In Isaiah, we hear of the faithful prophet standing before God's mighty throne, saying, "Here am I, send me," in response to God's call, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And just like Simon, who says to Jesus, "Go away, for I am a sinful man," when he realized that he had doubted Jesus, Isaiah proclaims his unworthiness to God, saying, "I am a man of unclean lips." They both cry out, proclaiming that they aren't worthy. Isaiah and Simon are each reminded that they've been told to follow, and they do. So now I take you back to that day in January for me. While standing on the boat, I was so overcome with emotion, thinking about the many ways and times that God has called for me or someone I know to follow, and how we doubt that that call is for us, often assuming we aren't enough. And you can fill in the blank here. We aren't smart enough. We don't have enough time. We don't know enough of the right people. We don't have enough money to make a difference. In today's world, we're too afraid. We're too afraid we can't make a difference for somebody else. We assume we are never enough. As I sat down on the boat, I was reminded of my first chapel experience during prologue week at Wartburg Seminary. The whole week was overwhelming, if I'm being honest, but I heard a hymn during chapel that I hadn't remembered hearing before. And the words were ringing in my ears at that moment on the boat as I looked at the mountains and the hills surrounding the seas that day. "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name and never be the same?" How can we ever be the same after we hear Jesus saying, "You are enough"? The invitation to lay down your nets and walk away from the busyness we surround ourselves with and follow the way, the truth, and the life is a chance to see ourselves as enough. Last week, Chris Bryant reminded us in his message about the promises we make when we see someone being baptized, joining the church, or in the words of ordination. The response that we say to those promises is, "We will," and we ask God to help us. When we doubt that we are capable or who exactly is being called into service of any kind, I invite you to hear the words, "I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will follow. I will hold your people in my heart." So whether that invitation is to say hello to someone you've never talked to before, to join our newly forming hospitality team, see me or Donna Olson Solace. During Lent, there will be opportunities to engage in two book studies, including a book study on the book by Jennifer Wallace called Never Enough. Now is the time to listen to where God is calling you to lay down your nets, to walk away from the things that are not necessary, to be part of who God has prepared you to be. I hope you will hear God calling in the night to open yourself to the invitation to be part of this larger community and to know that you are loved. Amen.